Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Congratulations on getting through your 9-to-5. Thank you so much for listening. It is The Drive on 610 Sports Radio, 610sports.com, and the radio.com app. You can always interact with the show, 913-576-7610. We were talking about Brian Busby, how whenever you first saw Brian Busby, he still looks the exact same. I'm curious who you think hasn't aged since the first time you saw him. Like, it's a very small list of people. Pharrell, Rob Lowe. There's a very small list of people who were on that ageless wonder list. But Brian Busby, he might be at the top of it. I don't know how old Brian Busby is, but I'm telling you, he has looked the exact same for 30 years.
Yeah, I'm trying to think. Larry Fitzgerald looks like he did the day that he got drafted. Most of us age, some better than others. But yeah, Brian Busby, he's one of those dudes where somebody texted in that he's 59 years old. Somebody said he's 56. So apparently he's in his 50s. If you told me he was in his 40s or his 70s, I would have believed you.
Yeah, but I have absolutely no clue how old Brian Busby is. Rob, let's get to the top stories of the day in Kansas City, my man.
Okay, now, from the beginning.
And now, the moment you've all been waiting for.
Check it out.
The top stories of the day, every day at 5 o'clock. The hits.
Cue it up.
One.
Now, many of you may or may not have known this, but the Sunflower Showdown is this weekend. And during media availability earlier this week, Kansas State players discussed feeling the disrespect by not being recruited by the University of Kansas.
You know, being so close to Lawrence, I always felt that that there was a little bit of motivation in not being recruited at all by them. I went to one camp, talked to their coaches there, and that was it. So, you know, there's definitely motivation in that, you know, feeling like I might've been overlooked.
I think about it a lot now, but I mean, it's not a grudge, but you know, you kind of think about it because, you know, I live 15 minutes away from Lawrence, you know, and it was kind of like, they didn't even give me a look. And so it's kind of, you know, it kind of hits home a little bit.
You know, it's kind of just a respect thing. How Kansas State came out and offered me first and had that trust and belief in me. And, you know, kind of KU, you know, really not having that was kind of a disappointment a little bit. Yes, it does fire me up a little bit because just because, you know, they're only 30 minutes down the road and the interest was very little.
And that was Kansas State players Briley Moore, Jayron McPherson, and Wyatt Hubert. Now, Sean, I know you're not a recruiting expert, but as a fan of Kansas, how frustrating is it to see Kansas struggle with football? Meanwhile, K-State has thrived with in-state kids that Kansas ignored.
I'm back to what we were talking about before, Rob. Paul Rudd. I Googled what celebrities never age. Paul Rudd's picture came up, and then my dad texted me, and he said that Dick Clark has always looked like a teenager. Should I text him back and let him know that Dick Clark passed away several years ago?
Yeah.
I'll just let dad think that he's still alive. What the hell? I mean, when you're talking about KU football, my expectations have dropped. They've been down for so long, since a program's been down for so long, that I've almost become complacent. Like, the fact that we're even having the conversation, should players be upset that they weren't recruited by the opposing school? Bill Snyder did a really good job when he was in Manhattan of putting the gates on Kansas. Now, it's not to say that he kept every single recruit in state, but there were a lot of them, and I'd say that was the big key to his success. Certainly, KU has been able to do the same thing. Mangino was pretty good at that. Like, he had Jake Sharp and Brandon McAnderson in his backfield. He had certainly had some local guys, but it was more the typical find some guys in Texas, in Ohio, down in Florida. But if you want to talk about having success with the Kansas players, you got to give a lot of credit to what K-State's done, first with Bill Snyder and more recently even with Chris Klieman.
I'm not saying it is the reason that KU is in the situation that they're in from a football perspective, but it's certainly a major part of the reason why they're in that situation. KU fans make fun of Missouri basketball a lot, but for the most part, the kids that MU loses in basketball, you're supposed to lose. If Tyler Hansborough has the choice between going to Kansas, North Carolina, or Mizzou, I understand why he went to go play for Roy Williams. Like, there's some kids you're just not going to get because of the kind of program that you are. But it's not like K-State's just knocking it out when it comes to recruiting. They're getting a certain kind of athlete, a player that fits their system, and they are molding that player into somebody that can potentially go on to the pros. Like, if you're Kansas, you got to figure out a way to do more with less. And I don't know if there is a program in the country that has done that as consistently as K-State for the last 30 years. They take these kids from Riley County, and they turn them into Jordy Nelson. Like, Kansas, if you want to be the kind of football program that I think a majority of fans want them to be, you're not asking them to be a 8 or 9 win team consistently. You're asking them to go out there and be competitive. Part of it is you can't miss at this level with these kind of kids that I think want to go to KU. Kid talked about it. I lived 15 minutes from there. I went to a camp. I talked to the coaches. They just really weren't that kind of interested. Like, what I really appreciate about K-State is they have established who they are as a program, and they never try to act like they're anything else. They get a certain kind of kid. They coach that kid up in such a way, and they consistently win 8 games. That's the kind of identity you need to have if you're Kansas football.
Can you imagine if MU basketball could have kept some of that St. Louis talent or that MU talent over the years? Like, that's actually been in their backyard?
I stopped worrying about that a long time ago because, I mean, the amount of talent that Mizzou has let leave the state could win the Eastern Conference in the NBA. I mean, like Jason Tatum is from St. Louis. Ben McLemore is from St.
Brad
Louis.
Brad Beal.
Yeah, I mean, we can go up and make Otto Porter. Like, we can go
it's
up and
crazy.
Down the list. Yeah, I mean, probably arguably one of the best basketball players in their history. His son is one of the 10 best players in the NBA.
Well, you got Michael Porter Jr. for a game and a half.
Two. I've never been beaten down basketball-wise like it sounds KU football. Like, I've always wanted my basketball program to be good. I've always wanted the football program to be good. It seems like KU fans have just come to the conclusion that our football program stinks, it'll never be good, so why bother?
Over the last decade, yeah. I mean, before that, it was bad, but this is a different kind of bad. Like, so I was in school. When the hell was I in college there? I was there in 07 through 09.
The only time to watch KU football.
Seriously, it was. And I remember saying that at the time. I was like, this is about as good as it's ever going to get. But before that, it wasn't awful, but everybody made fun of KU football. They've been the worst Division I football program over the last decade, and it's not even close.
Like, ever. Like, this decade is...
It's been one of the worst decades.
Historically bad.
Yeah, they're not just the worst this decade. This decade, KU football has performed at the level, I should say the last decade now at this point. I don't know if there's ever been a decade that any D1 school's ever had, including K-State before Bill Snyder, that's been as bad as the last 10 years. Dude, they've won 7 out of their last 100 Big 12 football games. It's unbelievable.
And is this now the time where I tell you that MU won more games in the Big 12 than Kansas won last decade, even though MU left the conference in 2011? I don't know if now's the time to maybe share that information. I don't know when the right time to share that information is, but that's a factual statement. Missouri won more games in the Big 12 in football in the 2010s than Kansas did, and they played in the SEC. Since 2011.
Yeah, there's never a good time to give me information like that.
Just curious to know.
A&M also did, never. Too, if we're going to play the game.
Just wanted to throw that out
they
there.
They both did?
Sure. Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Le'Veon Bell met with the media today, and he talked about how he's going to fit in with this Chiefs offense.
Question, it's not too much I can say about as to why it didn't work in New York. It just didn't work out, you know, and the fact that, it didn't, it kind of led me to the position I am here today. And, you know, when I had the opportunity, once I was, a free agent, talking to Coach Reed, just over in that course, it's like, it was just kind of undeniable to try to come here, help this team, any ways that I can help them out, being an opportunity to play with Coach Reed is just, obviously when I decided to come here, I already knew, the weapons and it's only one football to kind of go around. So, the time where I do get my opportunity, I think it's going to be a lot of opportunity to kind of show what I can do in some space, you know, running routes. I think this offense is really fit for my, you know, my skill set. I think Coach Reed does a good job of, you know, getting backs the ball in space. And I'm glad I got this opportunity.
CDOT, with three NFL versions of cupcakes coming up, how interesting will it be to see how Andy Reid and the Chiefs utilize Le'Veon Bell?
I'm not going to lie to you guys. This game doesn't really interest me a whole lot. The Chiefs are a 13.5 point favorite against a team that I think is going to win six games. It's not a matter of if the Chiefs are going to win on Sunday. It's really a question of how do they play in the game. I'm much more worried about the micro in this. Do we see an expanded role for Mecole Hardman? I saw a lot of people arguing on the text line. One reason why DeMarcus Robinson played so many snaps in the game against Buffalo is he's a better run blocker, so they wanted him in there. Valid reason? I don't even call that an excuse. That's a really good point, a valid reason. Denver's not that kind of team. Are we going to see Mecole Hardman be a role in the offense? Are they going to use Le'Veon Bell? Like, I'm much more interested in the micro over these next 3 weeks than the macro. We know this team is going to win. On Monday, we're not going to be talking about the how they won or the why they won. It's going to be much more the how did they win the game.
Yeah, because there's no way they could be a big favorite against a division opponent and lose that game. That can't happen, right? Oh, yeah, that's the one loss that they've had.
I think the Raiders are a much better team than you give them credit for. So I just think maybe that's where we are. Like, I think the Raiders are a potential wild card team and potentially the favorite for the 7 seed right now, which is weird as that sounds. I don't think that's what Denver is. Like, I don't think Denver can really score that much. They had six field goals last week. They've been really injured up and down all season. I don't think Denver's the team that Vegas is.
I definitely agree that at this point, I think most people would, that the Raiders are a better team than the Broncos and they're a healthier team. But saying that they're going to be the 7th seed in the playoffs in an expanded postseason doesn't mean they're a good football team. They're probably going to go 8-8, and they probably will make the playoffs. Now, when you talk about Le'Veon Bell and his role, and let me correct something you said. It's not three cupcakes in a row. They got Denver, the Jets, and Carolina. Carolina's not a cupcake, at least right now. It's the same thing with Sammy Watkins and Tyreek Hill. Like, you can't just look at the running back and say, well, the Chiefs don't need a running back because they got one in the first round who's second in the league in rushing yards. And both those things are true. Clyde Edwards-Helaire is only behind Derrick Henry right now. That'd be like looking at Tyreek Hill and Sammy Watkins and saying, well, they're both just a wide receiver. They have completely different skill sets. One's a burner, one's a possession guy, one's 6'2 and a half, one's 5'10. And that's what Le'Veon Bell is compared to Clyde Edwards-Helaire. Like, Edwards-Helaire is not good on the goal line. He's not great at pass blocking, and he's not great in short yarded situations. You know who's really good at all those things? Le'Veon Bell. So I've kind of come around to this whole thing. Low risk, high reward, and the fact that they do different things is certainly not going to hurt the team.
Three. Brett Favre on SiriusXM Radio said this about the Le'Veon Bell signing, quote, and they've got a good thing going, and sometimes adding a player of Le'Veon's caliber, it can do more harm than good, end quote. Sean, do you agree with Brett Favre, and could this move upset the apple cart?
I think it's pronounced Favre, I'm pretty sure. No, I don't think it will. I think it's much ado about nothing. What's Le'Veon Bell really done? I sat up last night for 2 hours because I was reading a lot of these on our text line that were like, well, why would you do it? You don't need to add him. Some people were calling him a cancer. What are you talking about? The only thing that I could find in Le'Veon Bell's background is back in, what was it, 2018. After 2017, when he ran the ball 350 times, he wanted to get paid. And he decided his best route to get paid was sitting out. Now, is that a jerk move when some of us get paid by the hour and he's making $10 million, whatever it was? Yeah, I could see why people would look at it that way. But yeah, it's not like he's been a locker room problem or Antonio Brown or anything like that. So I have no concerns about the person that is Le'Veon Bell.
Yeah, I think at this point, if that was your stance last week on why you didn't want the Chiefs to acquire Le'Veon Bell, I think it's safe to say that you were wrong. Like, I don't
know
how
you research is what happened.
Yeah, but I'm saying is, like, I don't know how you can really even hear with the media. Like, you could have done zero research. We heard from Pat today. We heard from Andy Reid. We heard from Le'Veon Bell. We heard from Chris Jones, who's probably his best friend on the team. I don't know how you can hear those four people speak about the addition of Le'Veon Bell and think that he is going to be a problem in the locker room. I think the Chiefs purposely searched out Le'Veon Bell. Like, I don't think it was a situation where Le'Veon didn't have an option. It ended up on the Chiefs. I think teams were interested in Le'Veon, and there was sort of behind the scenes that he wants to be in Kansas City. I know this for a fact. Andy Reid loves Le'Veon Bell. They were interested a couple of years ago, but just the financials just didn't make a whole lot of sense because we all knew that Bell was going to get paid by another team, and that team wasn't going to be the Kansas City Chiefs. So I think once the option came available for them to get a player like that who still has a lot of gas left in the tank, who still has a lot of tread left on the tire, I think they jumped at the opportunity. I think he was always coming to Kansas City the moment after he hit free agency. I think he looks at it as, hey, I get an opportunity to do something that I haven't since 2016. In 2016, you couldn't stack the box because they had Antonio Brown and they had Juju Smith-Schuster and they had all these other weapons. Like, you had to defend Le'Veon Bell so much differently because of the playmakers and the quarterback. That's not how he's been in an offense for the last couple of years with the New York Jets. I think he has been rejuvenated and is going to play with a different kind of energy and want to than he played with the New York Jets. I don't think it ever worked. I think he made a money move going to the Jets. I think joining the Chiefs is a football move.
Yeah, he's gone from the coal mine to the corner office. Like, a change of scenery helps us all. I don't know if I completely agree with you. Like, it seemed like you said there pretty surely that he's got a lot of gas left in the tank. I don't know. We're about to find that out. I think the Chiefs are going to give him that opportunity. I think from the Le'Veon Bell perspective, he knows that he's only 28 years old. He believes, like you just said, there's gas left in the tank. And so he asked himself, like any of us would, what's the biggest stage? Like, what's the best opportunity for people to see me and for me to make a difference? That wasn't Miami, right? That wasn't Buffalo. That was here in Kansas City. And that's why I think the marriage is going to work out, because the Chiefs don't need Le'Veon Bell. They're going to be better with him, and he makes things easier. But to some extent, Le'Veon Bell needs the stage that playing for the Chiefs provides. So I think you're going to get full effort from that guy. And I certainly am not worried about Le'Veon Bell, the person. Again, I think that's a really, really good move.
Coming up in a little bit, we'll get back to talking about the Kansas City Chiefs and their game this weekend against the Denver Broncos. We're going to play a game really quickly. I'm going to steal this game for you. 913-576-7610. We are going to play a very simple game. Guess that age of Brian Busby. So I looked it up and I have the official number, Sean Levine, of Brian Busby's age. We're going to give four callers a chance to win a 16-inch pizza from the other place if they can guess the age of Brian Busby. You told me this. I don't know why you told me this and tried to ruin my day. You read to me the weather report for this weekend in Kansas City.
I'm just telling you what's going on. I'm saying what Busby told me.
So tomorrow it's supposed to be, what, 82 degrees?
Yeah.
And then this weekend it could potentially snow.
Monday and Tuesday, yes, it's supposed to snow.
So we're going to give people a chance to win a pizza. We're making a list of those ageless wonders. I actually would love this to be a Levine's list. Who are what individuals, who are the top 10 individuals who look the same in 2020 that they did in 1995? That's the list of people, because Brian Busby is number one on that list. Brian Busby, I don't know when you first saw Brian Busby. I don't know if he came to your school. I don't know what elementary that you went to.
Of course, that's the dumbest thing you've ever said. He came to everybody's school.
I don't know if he did.
He went to everybody's school.
There's a lot of elementary schools in Kansas City.
He went to every one of them.
I don't know if he went to every single
school.
Most
of Missouri and a few in Iowa, too.
I don't know if he did. I'm just saying is, if Brian Busby came to your school and he told you about the elements, he looks the exact same now as he did back then. We'll go to the phone lines. Ryan, how old do you think Brian Busby is? Ryan, you there?
Yep, I'm here.
How old is Brian Busby?
64
years old for Brian Busby. Where are you at on Brian Busby?
I think I'm going to play the unders on 64. I think I'm around like 55 or so.
Okay, 55.
You know who else has looked the same his entire life? Jared Leto. That guy doesn't age either.
He's actually playing the Joker in a DC movie.
And it's going to be trash. Don't watch it.
That's probably accurate. Jeff, how old is Brian Busby?
66, I'm going to say. Black don't crack. So
that is absolutely
true. Yo, he
ain't lying.
I'm looking at Pharrell Williams right now. He looks younger. He actually looks younger. I'm looking at him from when he was 20. How old's Pharrell? This thing tells me that this can't be right. Keep talking. How old's Pharrell Williams?
Somebody on the text line says Keanu Reeves. He also hasn't aged in 30 years. I actually think Keanu's aged a little bit.
Yo, this can't be right. Is Pharrell 47?
I wouldn't be surprised.
47?
I wouldn't be surprised.
I swear I'm not trying to be funny or original or anything like that. I would have guessed 32.
No, there's no way you would have guessed
yes,
30.
Yes, I would.
You thought he was 14 when he made Grindin'. How old do you think Pharrell's been around for 20 years?
What,
how
old do you think he was? I wasn't going to do all that mental research and go
you
back.
Think he was 12 in the Neptunes?
Nobody would know that man is 47 years old.
He made the beat for Drop It Like It's Hot. How old do you think he was when he made that
apparently
beat?
Apparently 15?
Yeah. How old do you think he was?
Brian, you didn't know he was 47.
I mean, I wouldn't have guessed 31 either.
Pharrell's
I wouldn't
be
have guessed
50?
That he was my age. I would not have guessed
if
that.
If he's not famous, I bet he gets carded. He does it because he's Pharrell and he's happy. But I bet if he goes into a liquor store, you're supposed to look like you're older than what? Like 32? 33 or 34, whatever, I guarantee he'd get carded if he wasn't happy.
Brian Busby is 56 years old.
Is he really?
56 years old, Brian Busby. Thanks you to Ryan and Jeff for playing. Neither one of you won the free pizza. Somebody says that Morgan Freeman's been 70 for at least 30 years. I don't ever know young Morgan Freeman. Like, I'm sure that Morgan Freeman was young at one point in his life. He's always been old to me. Ever since I've ever watched movies, he's always been old to me.
Yeah, a lot of people don't know this. He was actually born at the age of 42 in a test tube, so he actually was never young.
Somebody said Bill Russell. Same thing. I've seen Bill Russell young on pictures, but as long as I've ever known Bill Russell, he's been one of the oldest human beings I've ever seen in my entire life.
Yeah, there are a lot of people like that, like Bob Barker. When did you meet Bob Barker? He was probably 70, right? There are a lot of dudes like that. You know who's older than you'd expect? I better double check this before I say it. Pat Sajak, my mortal enemy. You know what Pat Sajak is?
I know you're going to tell the story, so just go ahead and tell the story.
31.
Yeah, 31. Shut up, Rob. He's 73. Now, I guess if you do the math like Rob likes to, and you're like, okay, well, I was watching Wheel of Fortune, you know, 25 years ago, and Vanna White. How do you think Vanna White is while we're playing this game? I bet she's older than she is.
Probably the same, 75. I'm guessing Vanna White's 75.
I'm going to say 55 for her.
What's amazing is we play this game every single day. If there's anybody should know how old celebrities are, it should be Sean Levine.
You just put a dozen years on the woman.
I don't look.
She's 63. You called her 75.
Sean, you Google celebrity ages every single day. I never do that. You Google it. We have a segment of the show, at least 2 minutes a day on this show, we spend debating how old celebrities are. You should know the age of you should know everybody's birthday. You should know everybody's age. You should know their astrological signs. You should be able to tell me what their favorite foods are. Right now, I should be able to ask you what's Pharrell's favorite food. You should be like, spaghetti. You should know everything there is to know about Pharrell
Williams. No,
it's not
just without the jalapenos, actually. Who was the old timer, the geriatric that you said that was, you call her a baddie? Not too long ago. Who was it? Martha Stewart.
Martha Stewart. She was a baddie.
How do you think
in
she
that
is?
Picture?
How do you think she is?
73.
The baddie. Saying, we know this because we talked about it. She's 73, right?
No, she'll be 80 years old coming
baddie.
Up this
year.
Baddie.
Looks great for her age.
I'm sorry, and maybe this is me being an ageist. Baddie and 80 aren't usually used in the same sentence. Okay, maybe where you come from, they do. I don't know.
Holler at me. I'm just telling you.
White a baddie?
No, she's not a baddie.
She's 98.
She's not a baddie.
Is Angela Lansbury a baddie?
No. Okay. I think she's dead. I don't want to speak ill.
No, she's alive. She's still with us.
I don't want to speak ill on Angela Lansbury. She's dead.
I'm about 45%
sure.
One of my
greatest fears in life is that I'll wake up and when I pick up my phone in the beginning of the morning, because like somehow social media has become our Sunday paper. Like that's become our paper.
Angela Lansbury, 95.
I just feel really sad. Like one day I'm going to wake up and Betty White's going to be dead. Like one day I'm going to pick up my phone. It's going to be like 7:30 in the morning. I'm getting ready for the day and I'm going to find out that George Feeney passed away. Like that's not a life I want to live.
How old do you think Feeney is? He's not that close to death.
Feeney is old.
You know who was the sad one for me was?
I'd be shocked if Feeney wasn't older than 85.
You're crazy,
I'll
dude.
Google it. Sean, just get.
Oh, he's 91.
Yeah, I'd be shocked. Like, yeah.
He's 91.
And, like, that's what's going to happen. At some point, I'm going to wake up.
Oh, Feeney's age.
And
Google it, man.
Well, he's 95 years old. Of course he's age. You can't look good at 95. It's impossible.
He was 78, which isn't a spring chicken when I was watching on Boy Meets World. That's unbelievable.
I'm just going to wake up one day and George Feeney's going to be dead.
Harry Carey was the one for me. Like I was in fear that every day I would wake up and I would come across my timeline or something that Harry Carey was going to die. And then eventually, well, he did. But I'm with you. That would be a sad day when the 91-year-old Mr. Feeney passes away.
Text line 913-576-7610. Someone said, so when did Brian Busby start his first job? He was 14 years old. Something's fishy. No, he was 17 years old when Brian Busby got his first meteorology job. I looked it up. I actually read his bio during the commercial break because I was like genuinely curious about Brian Busby.
He's the Denny Matthews of meteorology.
He was 17 years old. He has been a meteorologist for 39 years. He started at Channel 9 in 1985. He has seen the Royals be good. He's seen them be the worst team in Major League Baseball. He's seen them be good again and now back to the world. Like, very few people have gone through that circle of life quite like Brian Busby.
It's pretty crazy. Like, think about – and most of us don't hold a job for more than maybe a couple or a few years, let alone do the same thing. Think about how lucky we've gotten here in Kansas City. Our weather, my entire life, Brian Busby's told me the weather. Sometimes he's wrong. Sometimes he says it's going to be 80 tomorrow and it's 40. But I've always got it from the same guy. Denny Matthews, I turn on my radio on Royals baseball. Same thing with my pops. Doesn't matter how old you are. We're lucky here in KC.
Coming up next, we'll get back to talking about the Chiefs and the Denver Broncos. We'll talk about Clyde Edwards-Helaire. I have a question. I know I will be called Buzz Killington for, but it's a question we got to ask. Stick around. It's The Drive.
The Drive. 610 Sports Radio.
This is one of those segments that I got to prepare to put on my flame-resistant suit because I know the text line is not going to be very happy, but some conversations need to be had. Coming up in a little bit, we'll go inside the mind of the machine. I just have a question to ask you guys, and I'm curious your thoughts.
This sounds very serious.
913-576-7610. Everybody's really happy about Clyde Edwards-Helaire's game, and I'm happy about it too. I just want to ask one question, and what does it mean? What's the best game you think that Clyde Edwards-Helaire has played so far this season, would you say?
I'd say probably the last one. Maybe the first game of the season. Take your pick.
You want to go with those two?
Yeah.
Where do you think Houston is in run defense this year?
Probably not great.
Take a guess. What number do you think?
24. I'll play your game.
32nd in the NFL.
Ooh,
against
bad.
The run.
That's last.
They're giving up 177 yards a game on the ground. Let's play that same game with Buffalo. Where do you think Buffalo is in yards allowed so far this season?
21.
28th in the NFL. Now, some of that is because you went up against the Chiefs offense and they had a really good day. But we have seen enough of the Texans offense to know the Texans defense ain't very good. I watched the last quarter of the game against Tennessee and the overtime, and they looked helpless against Derrick Henry. More helpless than teams normally look against Derrick Henry. I'm here telling you that Houston's run defense just ain't that good. And if you have any capable running game and any capable offensive line, you should run the football effectively against the Houston Texans. Buffalo, they're 28th in the NFL at yards allowed this season. So the two games in which we're all happy about how he played went up against two of the four worst rush defenses in the NFL. I'm just asking, does that mean anything? Because probably more so than me, we're taking our jokes at Darwin Thompson. Darwin Thompson had an 11-yard run in that game. Darwin Thompson might not have an 11-yard run at any point the remainder of the season, but he got one against the Buffalo Bills. So I'm just asking if that maybe puts a little bit of a cloud over some of the excitement about Edwards-Helaire and how he's played so far this season.
No, because he's played in six games. And I would say in two of the games, he's played awesome, the two that you're talking about. I'd say in two of the games, he's played okay. And I'd say in two of the games, he's been pretty much irrelevant. But his relevancy in those games had as much to do with him not cutting hard or hitting the holes as it did getting the opportunities. In two of those games, he only touched the ball 10 times. And I keep saying he's the type of running back you need to feed him 17, 20, 22 times. And then he's going to break off those 140-yard games. So, I mean, you're talking about a guy that's second in the league in rushing right now. The only guy that has more rushing yards than him is Derrick Henry. If I would have said six games into the season, Carrington, Edwards-Helaire would have more rushing yards than everybody in the league except for Derrick Henry, you wouldn't take that?
Yeah, I think you would take it, but there also has to be some context to it. Like right now, Dak Prescott has thrown 300 more yards than any other quarterback in the NFL. But I think we can identify on why the Cowboys are in that situation and why their quarterback has had to throw so much. And no one is here arguing that Dak Prescott's one of the better quarterbacks in the NFL when he was healthy. I'm just simply asking the question. I was encouraged by what I've seen from Edwards-Helaire. But I do think we all looked at those other four games. I think he was a little bit underwhelming. We all thought that after the game against the Raiders.
Are you not going to believe it until you see it, though? Because I feel like you're beating around the bush and getting at that against good teams, he doesn't rush very well. And against bad rushing teams, he does.
I don't know what the middle is.
I just think we haven't seen it yet.
I don't know what the middle is. I think we've seen two great games.
Yeah.
Two dominant games. But I don't think that's the Chiefs. The Chiefs are not going to run the ball 25 times with their running back. I know you might want them to and give Edwards-Helaire 22 carries a game. That's just not what their offense is. I don't think they're going to do that pretty consistently. Those two games, I would say it was uncharacteristic of what I think the Chiefs' offense really is. They're not an offense that runs the ball 46 times a game. We all know that about this team. So when they're not that offense that I don't think they are, he gets the ball like 13 times. It's a good day. Not a great day. It's like 65 yards, 70 yards a game. Like, I don't really know what the middle is. We've either seen him be great and a top three running back in the NFL, or he's just been okay. What's normal Clyde Edwards-Helaire look like? Now, I'm with you. Some of it just, we don't have enough of a sample size. We haven't just seen a whole lot of games yet, but I don't think that he's the second best running back in the NFL. I don't think anybody's arguing that right now.
Consistency is one of those things, though, pretty much in every sport that it comes later. Like, if you look at LeBron, right? So he might have averaged 20 points a game in his first season. Well, he had a couple of 35-point games, then he had a couple of those 12-point busts. I think that's what happens early on in guys' career. Because if you look at the total numbers, like I said, the only guy in the league that has more rushing yards is Derrick Henry. That's not bad. He's fifth in the league when it comes to average yards per carry at 4.7, and we know he can break off the long run. He's averaging 84 yards per game, which, again, is also fifth in the league for all running backs. The only knock I have on Edwards-Helaire so far – Like, the only thing that he doesn't do as well as I thought he would is get in the end zone. I mean, he's only got, what, 8 touchdowns so far? A lot of these other guys, Derrick Henry has 6, Dalvin Cook has 7. Hell, Kareem Hunt has, I think, 4 touchdowns at this point. Zeke has 5. Aaron Jones has 6. That's my one knock. I can't say anything else about Edwards-Helaire. I'm not going to break down game by game or run by run or say out of the backfield. He's been better than advertised. The only thing that I want to see more is more touchdowns, period.
I want to see more of those tough yards. The touchdowns to me just don't, like...
Well, there's the Le'Veon Bell yards now. I don't know if he's going to get those tough yards.
I know, but I'm saying is he probably should have scored a touchdown in the game. They called a holding call. Like, I'm not holding that against Edwards-Helaire. Like, if you're going to be a number one back and a guy you think can carry the ball 22 times, like, right now only 2 running backs in the NFL have more carries than Helaire. Like, they give him the ball a lot. Like, we could say we want to see him give him the ball more. The 2 running backs that have touched the ball more are Derrick Henry, who should touch the ball more, and Joe Mixon, who I think is a better running back than he is right now. A lot of that is just experience and age and all of that kind of stuff, and also opportunity. Like, to me, if you're going to be that true one back and you're going to be a true guy that you trust to be your number one running back, you got to trust him on 3rd and 4 to convert. You got to trust him on a 3rd and 3 where Pat doesn't have to run around and make a play. I can turn around and hand the ball off to our number one running back who's going to touch the ball 300 times this year and get it. Do we have that level of confidence in this offensive line, this running game? I would say right now it's probably a 60-40 yes, no, if we really did that poll right now, if you trust them. So that's where I really want to see the development. The touchdown numbers, just we just differ on how important that they are. I understand you need those to be an elite back, but I can live with Edwards-Helaire having 6 rushing touchdowns this year. Are you a guy that can convert those tough yards on 3rd and 4? Whenever this offense gives you the ball on 2nd and 10, can you get 7 yards to make it a manageable 3rd and 3? We haven't really seen that consistently so far, I would say.
Isn't that, am I missing something? Isn't that exactly why they went out and got Le'Veon Bell? Like, for exactly what you're describing, goal line, short yardage, pass blocking. You're right. Those are the things that 6 games into Clyde Edwards-Helaire's career, he needs to work on. But pretty much every running back that's ever carried a football in the NFL needs to work on those things, especially when you're 5'0". So that's why they went out and got him. So I don't think you're going to see the goal line carries that you're talking about. I think the numbers are going to go down for Clyde Edwards-Helaire as the season goes along. But that's a good thing, because I think that Le'Veon Bell and the service that he provides is something that, frankly, Edwards-Helaire doesn't do. Like, pass blocking, Edwards-Helaire is below average. Goal line, below average. Short yardage, below average. All these other things he's great at. Hitting the hole, open field, out of the backfield. Well, now you got Le'Veon Bell, so that's where I think he fits in. It's not just adding a running back. It's adding a running back with a completely different skill set.
Yeah, I also think that was going to sort of go down anyway, regardless of whether they got Bell or not. Like, right now, he's on pace to touch the ball 340 times this year. I don't know if it's good business, especially with the rookie in his first year in the NFL, to give him that much of a usage and then think that he's going to be fresh come postseason time when you really need him to be fresh. So,
sounds like it would be a record.
Like, I kind of think that those touches were going to come down anyway. Like, I don't think he's going to have every, I don't think that once every 3 games he's touching the ball 30 times like he did in this game against Buffalo. So I kind of think those usage were going to come up, and that's where I am encouraged by having Bell, where in this game where you gave Edwards-Helaire 26 carries, you now give him 18 carries and you give those 8 to Le'Veon Bell, and you take some of the wear and tear on him, not just for the long term of his career, but also having him fresh for December and January and potentially February when you really need to have him fresh and ready to go.
It's more those spots that you usually, like, I've heard a lot of people, you and Therese and Rich Gannon, who we had on earlier today, talking about why Le'Veon Bell is a perfect piece for this team. And obviously, I'll admit, it took me a couple of days to come around. But now that he's actually a member of the Kansas City Chiefs, I don't really care what he does coming up versus the Broncos, or the week after that versus the Jets, or versus that cupcake Carolina that Rob was talking about, or even versus Tampa Bay when the weather gets cold. The regular season doesn't matter to me. You know why? Because the Chiefs are going to make the playoffs, because their running situation is actually pretty damn good, especially compared to last year. But when the playoffs come around, I'm not as interested in watching Clyde Edwards-Helaire pass block or run the football or really do a ton of anything, because he's still going to be a rookie. So at that point, I think, is when you really get the benefit from a guy like Le'Veon Bell. When the weather gets cold, when the lights get brighter, when the games get biggest, it's going to be really nice to have that guy's experience.
Coming up in just a little bit, we will go inside the mind of the machine. I have another question to ask you. I think right now the biggest question in the NFL is, how real is Tennessee? And I think there's some people, because of their quarterback, and I'll say that some people is me, will just never believe that Ryan Tannehill is a guy that you can win a Super Bowl with and a guy that inevitably is going to help you win football games. It's funny, because a lot of the same questions that we ask about Baltimore, we should be asking about Tennessee. One question we ask about Baltimore is, what can you do on 3rd and 8 when you eliminate the running game, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, In the last game that the Titans lost, we saw what happened when you take away Derrick Henry and when he doesn't look otherworldly. When Derrick Henry's just a regular running back and you got to lean on your quarterback to throw it 35, 40, 45 times to go out there and do it, Ryan Tannehill couldn't do it. They're a great team whenever Derrick Henry's one of the most dominant players in the NFL. What if he's human? What if he's regular and that's in there? Think about it. They needed a subhuman effort from Derrick Henry to beat the Texans in overtime. Like, they needed Derrick Henry to run for 200 yards. Tannehill had to throw for 350, and they won in overtime because of a coin flip, because I don't know if they were stopping Houston from scoring there too. I think Tennessee is a good team. I'm going to be really curious to know if we ever find out this season if they are a great team. I think Kansas City is a great team. I think that Seattle is a great team. I don't know if there's too many other great teams in the NFL.
Well, don't be silly. You know the answer to that question that you just asked. What happens if somebody slows down Derrick Henry? The Chiefs did it in the AFC Championship game, and they made him one-dimensional, and they ended up running away with that game. So
that's what I'm asking.
There's a way to stop them. So it's just not easy.
So I'm saying is, if that's the question, then if it's just Derrick Henry has to run for 150 yards, you can't be good teams, then how legitimate is that team? Like, that's what I'm asking the question.
Well, how many teams besides the Chiefs have been able to stop that train for a while now?
Not many.
Not a lot. So it's one of those things that you can say, yeah, just go out there and slow down Patrick Mahomes. Don't let him throw four touchdowns. You just go out there and make Derrick Henry, you know, average 3 yards a carry. That's tough to actually go out there and do.
Yeah, but I would say, though, in the game against Buffalo, that is about, from a number standpoint, about as well as you can do against Patrick Mahomes. I would say what the Raiders did, that's about as well as you can do, where I don't think Mahomes was next level in the game against Buffalo, but they've got other kind of bad, they got other tricks in their bag. They can beat you with the right and the left. I don't really know if Tennessee can do that. Like, what happens if Derrick Henry only has a day where he has 18 carries for 82 yards? Not a bad day for a running back, but a normal day. Can they beat Pittsburgh if that's the case? Can they beat Kansas City if that's the case? Can they beat Baltimore if that's the case? Like, I don't know if we have the answer to that.
Speaking of, can they beat Pittsburgh? So that's a battle of the last two undefeated teams. They actually play this weekend. That's a game that I think me and you and a lot of people are going to have their eyes on, because I mean, Tennessee's that team that we knew was good. They were 9-7 last year, 9-7 the year before that, 9-7 the year before that, 9-7 the year before that. I'm not joking. Like, they've literally been that team, and we all said going in this season, well, they're probably going to be about 9-7 or 10-6. Well, don't look now, they're undefeated. I'm not surprised Pittsburgh's undefeated. I try to tell people coming into the season that it's not a foregone conclusion that Baltimore is going to win that division. So they're about where I thought that I was going to be. But then you point out, you know what, man? Go over with a fine-tooth comb, because the truth is, neither one of these teams have beat anybody so far this year. Like, if we're comparing resumes, yeah, Tennessee's undefeated. Yeah, Pittsburgh's got the zero on the other side. But the Chiefs have a more impressive resume because they beat Houston. They beat New England. They beat Buffalo. They beat Baltimore. It's one thing to win a bunch of games. It's another thing to actually beat good football teams, what the Chiefs have done.
I mean, I think we're going to be able to play that schedule game with every team in the NFL. Like, Tennessee beating Buffalo by 30 with everything that was going on with Tennessee is a really impressive win.
Oh, yeah,
like,
I forgot about that game.
Like, a really impressive win. To beat Buffalo 42-16, absolutely pound them into submission, is really impressive. We were just talking about Houston. Sometimes you're going to play those games in the division, but this is a real measuring test for both teams. You're playing up against another team that we perceive to be elite title contenders. Right now, if we make the list of who's in the Super Bowl bubble, who's out of the Super Bowl bubble, I would say right now you got to put Tennessee and Pittsburgh in that conversation. Buffalo can't be in that conversation. Baltimore still in that conversation. This is going to be one of those games where we find out who is a playoff contender, who is a Super Bowl contender on Sunday between those two teams.
Yeah, I think it's, we all understand that both these teams are going to make the postseason. Are they both Super Bowl contenders? I don't know. I've got their schedules in front of me. So Pittsburgh, on the way to their undefeated 5-0 record, they've beat the Giants, the Broncos, Houston, Philly, and Cleveland. Yuck. Tennessee, on the way to their perfect 5-0 record, they've beat the Broncos, Jacksonville, Minnesota, Buffalo. I'll admit, I completely forgot that game happened. And then Houston. So, I mean, yeah, they're 10-0 combined. They've also got one good win combined. I think it's a little bit early to put either one of those teams in the Super Bowl conversation.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. I mean, we'll certainly get a much clearer picture this Sunday as those two teams play each other. And you will be able to watch that in Kansas City. I saw the NFL coverage map. Basically, the entire country will have the opportunity to watch Titans and Steelers on Sunday. Rob, let's go inside the mind of the machine.
I'm sure you saw that John Ross is looking for a new home. He's a speedster. He's a wide receiver. Any interest whatsoever in Kansas City?
Say it one more time. I'm sorry.
John Ross available, former Bengals.
No chance. They don't need him.
Okay.
I mean, I just don't. I don't think he makes any sense. Like, I think they already have that player three times on their roster. Like, I don't think he makes sense in Kansas City. Like, what is he that Mecole Hardman isn't? And you've already invested such a significant resource in Mecole Hardman. Why aren't you trying more to get more out of it from him than you're trying to get from John Ross? Like, you have to trade for him. I don't think Ross makes a lot of sense here. I'm not saying he has no place in the NFL. I just don't think he is with the Chiefs.
Before the show, you openly admitted to both Rob and I that you're officially done with Baker Mayfield. Are you done? Or are you like done with Baker?
Yeah, I'm done. I think he's incredibly limited. I think he's their biggest problem right now. I think Baker, I think teams sort of I guess it's almost identical with what happens with Tennessee, but you can sort of take them out of it. We're going to force Baker Mayfield to make throws, and he just can't do it. He's not accurate enough. I thought that that was the one thing that was going to translate from watching him at Oklahoma. I thought he was going to be one of the more accurate passers in the NFL. He's not one of those. I think he's pretty skittish. He moves his feet. I think Baker is extremely limited as a passer. I think he's their biggest problem.
What's the best landing spot for Eric Bieniemy? And just play my game. Let's say the Chargers job's open, Houston, Detroit.
Why do you think
the
Chargers job's going to be open, out of curiosity?
Because I don't think they're going to win a bunch of football games. They've got one win right now, and that'll be 3 years. Most of the time, that's the opportunity a new head coach gets, and that's what Anthony Lynn is, his first shot as a head coach. I'm 50-50 if they would hire somebody. Do you think he would take that job knowing that he's got Pat in the division?
Yeah, I don't think you think about it in that sense if you're going to take a job. Like, I think you look at it, what's your best chance to win? And if you think Herbert has a chance to be a star, then you take the job with the quarterback you think has a chance to be a star.
It's not just that, though. It's not just what's the best chance to win. I would also say, what's the expectation level? That's why I'm interested in the Jets if I'm Eric Bieniemy. If I get the number one pick and they haven't been good for a long time, and if we win 5 games next year and 8 games a year after that, then they give me an extension, that's the job I'm looking for.
Yeah, I don't know if it works that way in the NFL, especially if you get Trevor Lawrence and in New York. Like, are they going to be happy if Trevor Lawrence just win 8 games in year 2 and they're giving you a pat on the back and give you an extension? Like, I don't really think that's how the Jets are going to get down, especially with Lawrence. Like, Lawrence is being hailed as the savior. Like, Lawrence is being held in the same vein that Andrew Luck was in, that he is going to be a guy who instantly comes in and turns around your organization. If you don't instantly come in and turn things around, I don't think the leash is going to be incredibly long, especially with the talent that is perceived to be there with him.
That's going to be one of those weird things, because he's likely to land in the Big Apple. Is he going to be a Jet or a Giant? Which other team doesn't get him? They're going to have to read that back page every single day for the next 10, 12 years. It's a very weird situation. You've been talking about this a lot. Khabib takes on Justin Gaethje, Fight Island, Saturday night. Who are you leaning towards?
I don't know anything about it.
Okay.
I've been talking about that a lot.
Oh, maybe that was me that was
won't
talking
shut up about
that
it, honestly.
Yeah, I don't know.
I think Gaethje's got a real chance in this
All
one.
I know is Khabib is that fight he got into. Like, I can't tell you any other person that he's ever fought or even thought about fighting other than Conor McGregor. That's all I know about Khabib. I know he beat the hell out of Conor McGregor and then started beating his homeboys up. That's all I know.
He took out a Dustin Poirier just a few months ago.
You could tell me he played safety for the Jets, and I'd be like, oh, yeah, for real.
Who's had the more unlikely season so far, Russell Wilson or Aaron Rodgers?
I mean, neither is probably the answer.
We didn't see this coming from Aaron Rodgers. You did.
I mean, I thought he was a top 5 quarterback in the NFL, though, so I'm not surprised that he's playing at a really high level. I mean, my answer would be neither. I think if I have to pick between the two, I would say Aaron Rodgers. I think Russell Wilson is the second best quarterback in the NFL. He's now playing like the best quarterback in the NFL. Not that high of a step up.
So the Photog, who, do you remember a couple of years ago? I think it was before the Sugar Bowl. It was Georgia and Texas. And Bevo tried to, he went at UGA. Remember that?
Mm-hmm.
Well, the Photog is now suing. How do you feel about live mascots?
I don't really have a strong opinion one way or the other.
I feel very strongly about them. I love them. Love them. Mike the Tiger. And I'm not saying you should put him out in the middle of the field or anything like that.
Who's Mike the Tiger?
LSU.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Do you know who Ralphie is?
That's Colorado. I know that.
Yeah, Ralphie the Buffalo. The best live mascot thing I've ever seen. Air Force. You know their mascot?
They're the Eagles, the Falcons, right?
Falcons, edible.
Yeah, the Falcons.
And they got, as you can imagine, a live Falcon as their mascot. And I'm sure you've seen, maybe not in person, but one of those things where the guy's got the Falcon. What are they called? Falcon people? There's a name for them.
Bro, this is the mind of the machine. Falconry? I don't know.
There's a name for it.
I'm pretty sure it's Falconry.
Falcon people? I don't know.
Anyway, and it was a bowl game, and they let the Falcon fly around the stadium, and then the Falcon went Falcon and decided to fly over the back of the stadium and was never seen again. I'm all about the live mascot.
Yeah, I don't really have. Maybe it's just because Mizzou doesn't have one, so I just don't really. It doesn't really bother me that much. So yeah, I don't really care one way or the other.
Who's got better hair, Patrick Mahomes or Travis Kelce? What happened to your hair, by the way? All clean shaved today.
So today when I was going to get a haircut, I told my barber, you know, you always say, I'm like, hey, what do you want? I then told him.
Little off the top.
He is then giving me his coronavirus conspiracy theories.
That's never good.
He then cut off my beard. And so I'm facing the other way.
Without
so
your opposite, permission?
So opposite of the mirror. He then turns it around. And then I see it. I'm like, yo, what's up? He's like, oh, bro, my bad. And for a while there, I looked goofy. You can look, you can Google it. I felt like David Ruffin for a little bit. Some of you know who David Ruffin is. Like, Google a picture of David Ruffin. That's how I looked for a little bit. And he was like, you know what, bro? Half off. And the next time you come in here, it's free. I was like, you know what? It's not really that bad then. Cool, man. I appreciate that.
Half off. That's what he did to your face. But it looks good. It looks real good.
It is called falconry, by the way. I did some Google
back
here.
It's just falconry?
Falconry.
Oh, my apologies.
The falcon people.
You, what's it called? Falconry. No, the falcon people.
I thought there was
a name.
I don't
know nothing about it. I ain't never been around a falcon before.
Y'all don't know
before.
The falcon people?
I've never been around a falcon. I don't even know what a falcon, falcon is.
People. That's a bird.
I don't even know what a quail is.
It's also a bad football human being. Team. Quail's also a bird. I believe you can eat quail in some parts.
Let's go shoot some birds. I'm psyched.
I'm psyched. Coming up next, Jay Binkley. We're off. It's the drive.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.